Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this session tonight where we can stop and look at the light of the world. Lord, thank you for your word that reveals not just the name of Jesus, but the purpose and the reality of Jesus so that we might be able to know him in a way that we could never know him without your word. So, Lord, I pray your blessing and presence upon this assembly tonight. Teach us your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two words, three letters that change the world. It's so simple. Two words, three letters. I am. Those two words, those three letters, are the answer to every question you will ever have in your lifetime. I've challenged you in every session so far. Go ahead and try to find a question that Jesus could not one day stand in front of you and answer with two words and three letters. I am. Just keep working on that. If you're one of those people that really struggles with the follow me part of Christianity, if you have times in your life where you wonder, is it really worth it? Is it really worth what it takes to follow Christ? Then the only thing I can tell you is you still don't know who he is. You still don't know who he is. If you're struggling with follow me, there's only one possible conclusion. You know, you don't know who the me is that's asking you to follow him. We began 2 weeks ago with Jesus' announcement of his identity as the I am. And I'm going to start every one of these first, I think, seven sessions with this foundation. It's found in John 8:56, where Jesus makes this revelation, which started a revolution, and then they pick up stones to stone him because they couldn't come to grips that he is who he says he is. So here we go. Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it, and he was glad. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old, Jesus. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Now, that's really critical. If you want to know what they thought Jesus was saying, look at that sentence. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Jesus is making them understand or comprehend the idea that Jesus was present with Abraham. That's 2,000 years before Jesus. You aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. Last week, we covered the first of the I am statements of Jesus that are listed, all of them, in the Gospel of John. Last week was what? I am the bread of life. So we started with his name, I am, and then we moved to what, okay, your name is I am, and then he says, I am the bread of life. He's tacked on the back of it, the bread of life. I am, and I am the bread of life. Tonight, we will cover his second I am statement listed also. All of them are in the Gospel of John. I am the light of the world. This statement of identity and purpose is actually recorded twice in the Gospel of John. First in chapter 8, where he also announces himself as the I am. We just read that. And then he does it again in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. So let's start in John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, here it comes, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness because you have the light that leads to life. Now, I'm going to tell you, I could talk the rest of the night on that verse. I'm going to try not to, but I could. I'm not making that up. Jesus is our escape from the darkness. Listen carefully. Jesus, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness. What he's revealing is I am the escape from the darkness, the escape, listen carefully, from the absence of light. You'll need to get that to get where we're going tonight. He is the escape of the possibility that there is a place that exists in the absence of light. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness. You won't have to have a life in the absence of light. The I Am is not only announcing his true identity as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's also announcing his purpose and his power on the earth. What is it? I'm the light of the, I am the illumination of the earth. The I Am knows that we humans cannot see in the dark. So he came down from heaven to bring us light. The I Am is saying something here that only the Creator could say. Do you understand that? I am the light of the world. I am the illuminating power of earth. Only the Creator would have the audacity to say that unless you're blaspheming. I am the origin of light, the source of light. That's me. Well, I'm going to tell you, that would put him way older than Abraham, right? Only the Creator could say, I'm the light of the world. So can you imagine being in the audience? Jewish people, they know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They know the creation account, Adam and Eve. They know Abraham. They know Moses. Can you imagine in this particular moment, they don't know Jesus for who he is. Can you imagine them saying, really? Hey, buddy, you're the light of the world. You're from Nazareth. That's like, I've told you, that's like being from Bertie. That is a place of nowhere people. You're from, and you're the light of the world, really? You existed before Abraham, really? You're the man, you're the bread of life. You're the bread that comes out of heaven, really? See, they still don't know who he is. They don't know who he is. So let's go to the beginning. And let's check out, where did this light of the world find its origin? In Genesis 1:1. That'd be a really good place to start. Back, I don't know how to get back before that. I don't have a book. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless, and it was empty. And I want you to notice the word, and darkness. Don't just, we read over that, at least. Sometimes I just read over those words. The earth is formless and it's empty. And darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, God spoke, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then something happened. Then he separated the light from the darkness. I don't know why, I just got goosebumps all over my arm when I said that. He did something. And if you're ever going to figure out who Jesus is, this is your first sign. He is the power to separate light and darkness. His absence will be darkness. His presence will be light. So what would be the separation of the two? Jesus. When there's darkness over the surface of the deep waters and there's a word. Notice how did he create? And God said, and there's a word. He spoke, and let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. So where does the light come from? Is there good and evil? Okay. The light was good. And there's one that can separate good from evil, light from darkness. Who is he? He'd be the light of the world. And the light, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. And he called the darkness night. And evening and morning came, marking the, what day is this of creation? Day one. Now here's the point I want to make in Genesis. The earth was formless, empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, right? He is separating light from darkness. How is he separating? And he separated light from the darkness. And you could say, well, but there's the day and there's night. Well, how is there day and night? And how is there good if there is not evil. And he said, and it's good. Well, isn't everything good? Is everything light? Is there a darkness? Is darkness the opposite of light, or is darkness the absence of light? And who could separate the two, good and evil, light and darkness? Is it merely just that there's a day and there's a night? Well, let's ask ourselves a question. How do we get day and night? Because it hasn't happened yet, not in day one. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters, and then God did something that only He can do. He speaks. He speaks a word. And I don't have time to get into this in detail, but I want you to think about when He speaks, it's language. You ever thought what makes humans so unique in God's creation is language? We're reading tonight language. I can talk to you, and it's called language, and we understand each other. Not every creature can do that. It's language. And the origin of language is what? God spoke. He's placing language into this. He's creating with His word, with His ability to speak things into existence. And the word of light. And God said, let there be light. So did He have an extension cord and He plugged it into something? No. How did He do it? What is its source? The word. Listen, the word, God spoke, became light, and the word in light can separate darkness. Stay with me. And light was good. No, light was perfect. And I can say, I can assume based on this, it's better than darkness. It's better than darkness. Why? Because He said it was good. It's good. If you study the detail of Genesis creation event, you're going to find something quite curious right about now. Light appears at the birth of creation in day one by the word, let there be light. And what was that light? If you say it was the sun, you'd be wrong. The moon? No. Stars? No, 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 no. What is it? I am the light of the world. What? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never have to walk in darkness. And God separated the light from the darkness. In day one. It was not until the fourth day of creation that the Creator, the light, made the heavenly lights. Verse 14. And then God said, let the great lights appear in the sky. Now we're talking about daytime and nighttime. Let the great lights appear in the sky to separate. What does light do in every one of these examples? Separates. Right? It separates. It divides. And let the great lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them mark off the seasons, days, and years. And let the lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And this is what happened. So God made two great lights, the sun and the moon. The larger one to govern the day. That'd be the sun. The smaller one to govern the night. That'd be the moon. He also made the stars. And God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern day and night, to separate. There's that word again. To separate the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And evening passed and morning came. What day is it? It's the fourth day. Light is creating light. When He made the sun, the moon, and the stars, light is creating light. The word is creating light. The word, the light, is separating. Listen, you got to get this part. the Word, which is the light that comes to separate the darkness. If the light doesn't come, then darkness is just darkness. It takes light to separate the darkness, right? So I'm going to ask you a question, give you a headache if you stay with it too long. Can darkness create light? In a spiritual sense, in a physical sense. Can darkness create light? I guess that would make you disappear. If darkness made light, then what would happen to the darkness? Okay, y'all give me that look, so I need to stop a minute. This room has no windows. Well, a couple of little ones in the doors, but let's assume this room has no windows, and it's nighttime, and the lights are off. There's no lights in here. We have darkness. What happens when I push the light button? Where does the darkness go? What? So I don't know. You have to do it real quick, three times, and we'll see. Where does it go? It is separated by the presence of the light. So the light has power over the darkness. The darkness doesn't have power over the light. Okay? So the darkness has dominion until the light comes. And I push the light button, and the darkness has to leave when light comes. That's the separation. So can darkness create light? No. The reason it can't, because if darkness created light, it would in itself disappear. Because it would become light if it created light. All right? I told you I'd give you a headache after a while. It is a picture. I'm trying to paint a picture. It is a spiritual picture of good and evil. They cannot coexist. They cannot live together. Good and evil, light and darkness cannot live together. Because when the light comes, the darkness leaves. And darkness cannot create light. So they cannot be side by side. You have one or the other. And what does every one of these examples so far happens when the light comes? It separates. Separates. All right, stay with me. Did you think Jesus, the I Am, had his first day in Bethlehem stable 4,000 years after creation, really? Or, let me give you another option. Is he the light that separates the darkness in Genesis 1? Which one is he? You see, there's a whole lot of people, they can't get past this question right here, this question. Do you think Jesus had his origin, his beginning, his birth in Bethlehem, that before that he's nothing? Just like before 1956, I was nothing. Is that his beginning? Or is he the origin of the light that separates the darkness? John 8:58. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. And at that point, how do they respond to this announcement of his identity? They picked up stones to throw at him. So how much before Abraham was born? Before Abraham was even born, I am. So let's ask a logical question. How much before Abraham? How old is Jesus anyway? Anybody want to take a stab at it? I'd advise you not to, by the way. Is the I Am older than the sun, the moon, and the stars? Is the I Am before Genesis chapter 1? When the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the deep darkness? Did you notice what God did to create? He spoke. He spoke what? The Word. Language. You know, we're using language right now. We take it for granted that these sounds that come out of our mouths are understandable to each other. How does that work? How did my sounds, these audible noises that just happen to come out of my throat, how do we communicate with such a thing? Where does that come from? Words created. Words created. God spoke and there was a creation. The Word creates. The Word of God created. The Word of God, listen, is I am. Remember, all seven of Jesus's I am statements are from the Gospel of John. So how does, all seven of them are from the Gospel of John. So how does the Gospel of John begin? Verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Is that a person or is that a book? Or is that a recording? What is that? In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. So look at that one for a moment. How did God create the light in the beginning? And God said, let there be light. So how did He do it? God created everything through Him. So who's the Him? God said. So who's the Him? The Word. And nothing was created except through Him. And here He comes again. The Word gave life to everything that was created. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought what to everyone? Brought what to everyone? Light. Here we go again. He's separating. Before a person has life, there's darkness over the surface of their deep. You don't exist. There's nothing there. It's dark, right? It's emptiness. It's absence. You know, it's nothing. So the Word gives life and He gives light. The Word gave life to everything that was created. His life brought light to everyone. Now, I want you to notice the everyone part. So God's gift of the Word is for everyone, everyone. And finally, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. Here it comes again, separate. What's going to happen when this light shines in the darkness? It's same thing. It always happens when light shines in the darkness. He's going to separate. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish the light. What happens to the darkness when it encounters the light? It has to scoot over. It has to move, right? It has to move. So let's, when Jesus announces Himself as the light of the world, shortly after His ministry began, it wasn't something new. Do you think this is the first time that it had been circulated that this guy claims to be the light of the world? No. John the Baptist had actually been talking about this light of the world even before Jesus brings it up. John the Baptist has already brought it up. In fact, that was one of the main purposes of the supernatural birth of John the Baptist, to tell the people of Israel about what? There's a great light coming to the world. Okay? That's one of John's purposes. And let me read John 1, verse 6. We're talking about John the Baptist. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about what? The light. So that everyone might believe because of his, John's, testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, is coming into the world. So, wow, is that good news? I kind of want to grin when I read that. Do you like darkness? Because I don't. You know what I hate about wintertime? Darkness. I can kind of come to grips with the cold. I don't like the cold, but I can kind of come to grips with the cold. You know what I struggle with? Darkness. I need some sunlight. I need some daylight. You know, I need some... this darkness kind of gets to me after a while. So if you read that scripture, the one who is the true light who gives light to everyone, he's coming to the world. Is this good news? This is good news. So how do you think the world's going to take it? Now you know the human dilemma. How did the world, the kingdoms of men, like this light? Surely the darkness will welcome the light, right? Who would choose darkness? Come on. Who would choose darkness over light? So I'm going to ask you two questions. And they're really spiritual questions. Are you afraid of the dark? Because I am. And I don't mean like, well, I kind of am. You know, I don't like total darkness. You like to go to Mammoth Cave when they turn all those lights out? I don't either. I like to get that guy at the light switch and say, it's enough. I don't like darkness. I don't like it. There's nothing about that darkness that I find entertaining. So I'm going to ask you, are you afraid of the dark? Maybe a better question is this, are you afraid of the light? Because there is a single individual that does this. Listen, if you learn anything tonight, get this. Jesus separates the light and the darkness. He does this. Because when the light comes, the darkness has to move. Now hold on to that thought. Is there such a thing as good and evil? We can say there's such a thing as light and darkness, right? Is there also connected to, is light a picture of good? And God said, let there be light, and it was good. Is darkness a picture of evil? Which would actually be the absence of the light that is separated from the darkness. Let's go to verse 10. What did the world think about the light that came? He came into the very world he created. Who came? The I Am came. But the world didn't recognize him. How do you not recognize the light of the world? He came to his own people. That'd be the Jewish people. And even they rejected him. They even picked up rocks to stone him, eventually put him on a cross. What? The light of the world? Yeah, the light of the world. Why? Why? Come, let's stop for a moment. Why? They never accepted fundamentally that he is who he says he is. He's what? The I Am. What's the deal? How could the dark world not recognize this marvelous light? How could the Jewish people, the chosen, the I Am selected, the I Am led people reject the light of the world? How in the world can you do that? The word tells us the answer to that question. You might not want to hear it, but it's true. I guess that means that the I Am tells us the answer. I told you the I Am answers every question. Before I read it to you, the word of the I Am, let me ask you another question. What would the Creator, use your imagination and ask yourself this question. What would the Creator, the light, the I Am do if the created people of the earth decided they didn't want the light? And the light was your only begotten son. What would the Father do if the people of the earth who were all trapped in darkness didn't want the light of the world, which happened to be your only begotten son? What would he do? What do you think he ought to do? What do you think he ought to do? Not that he's going to ask you or me. I don't think it matters what we think. But reasonably speaking, and not only did they not want the light, they liked the darkness better. They liked the absence of the light of the world more than the presence of the light of the world. Who would choose dark over light? Let's go look at verse 18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. Who? The I Am, the light of the world. There's no judgment. Now, let's qualify what that means. You're at peace with God. Your sins are atoned for. You're not his adversary. You belong to him. No judgment. Why? The judgment was the cross. It already happened. He was pierced for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was upon him. That was the judgment, right? He endured the cross. He was pierced for me. The punishment that should have been mine was his. So that's why there's no judgment against anyone who puts their faith in him, who believes in him. And then there's a but. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. You don't need to be judged. You've already been judged. And what's the difference between judgment and no judgment? What is it? Here it is. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for what? For not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on what? Oh, I love this part. And the judgment, the criteria for separating what? Believers and unbelievers, the lost and the saved, the forgiven and the unforgiven. The criteria is this. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world. People love darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil, what? Hate the light. They hate it. They hate it. And when you say hate the light, you're hating a person. And they refuse to go near the light for fears, what? If I get up next to the light, you know what happens? It exposes my darkness and drives my darkness away, because that's what light does. So I'm really attached to my darkness, so I don't want to get up next to light, because I know what happens if I get up next to light. He's going to drive out my darkness, and I like my darkness, right? There you go. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light. Oh, so that others can see that what they're doing, God, is what God wants. Evil hates light. Unbelievers hate light. There you go. There it is. It's good and evil. And what does the light do? It does this. It separates the two. But why does evil hate the light? Because evil is not from the I Am. You'll never understand this until you understand there is another power and another authority. Why does the evil hate the light? Where does that come from? Because evil is not from the I Am. Evil is from the I Am Not, the other guy. You know who he is. While the I Am was bringing light into the world, the I Am Not was bringing darkness. And I want you to understand what the darkness is. This is really important. While the I Am was bringing the light into the world, the I Am Not was bringing the darkness. And what is the darkness that the I Am Not can bring? It is the absence of light. The darkness remains in the darkness. It won't approach the light, because approaching the light is to believe the light is who he says he is. So I stay away. I remain at a distance. I remain in the dark. Adam and Eve were deceived by the darkness of the I Am Not. And that left all of us wandering in the same darkness. The darkness is called sin. God's love was so great, so selfless, that he gave himself to undo what the I Am Not had done to man. I want to say that one again. The love of God was so great and so selfless that he gave himself to undo what the I Am Not had done to man. His name is Jesus. As of session 3, you know 3 things about him that he has revealed about himself. His name is I Am. He is the bread of life. You're going to die without him in you. And he is the light of the world, which means that you will forever be in darkness until you know him. He is the light of the world that came to undo the darkness by bringing light. The I Am describes it in this way. Let's go John 3:16. Everybody knows 16, but you need to go all the way down to the bottom. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What does it mean to perish? Darkness. 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 What is darkness? The absence of light. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. God loved the world so much that he gave us light, his light. He gave himself, the I Am. You don't have to make this complicated, though some do and some have. We must turn to the light to be separated from the darkness. There's the gospel. We must turn to the light, face the light. And he alone has the power to separate the darkness. You cannot separate the darkness from your life. So when that guy comes to me and says this, you know, when I get my life straightened out, I'll start coming to church. And I usually look at him and say, you will never come to church. You cannot straighten your light. Guess what? You cannot remove the darkness from your life. You don't have the power. Darkness is a great power. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. It's quite clear that there's a light and there is a darkness. There is a good and there is an evil. You know what that means? There was a time in American culture that anybody with any sense could stand up and say that out loud and be accepted. What? There is good and there is evil. There's light and darkness. Good and evil. Good and evil. Good and evil. But you know what? You know what that says? Without going too deep, you know what that says? There's absolute truth. If there's a good and there's an evil, then there's truth and there's a lie. And that begs the next question, theologically speaking, then who gets to decide? Right? If there's good and evil, then who gets to set good and evil? Does the government set good and evil? I think I mentioned it Sunday, this Equality Act that the U.S. House of Representatives thinks that they have the power in and of themselves to decide good and evil. Or maybe I'm wording it wrong. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe they think that there's no such thing as evil. So I'm supposed to say it's okay for my grandchildren in the second grade to go to a school and the teacher tells them that you can choose whether you're a boy or a girl, even though it's quite obvious that they're one or the other. Or you can be a boy and then later be a girl, or you can be a girl and later be a boy, or you can just say I'll opt out. And I'll do neither. And you know, we laugh because how stupid it is, how foolish it is, but I wonder how many churches will bring it up, which is part of the problem. It's quite clear that there's light and there's darkness. There's good and there's evil. There's right and there's wrong. There is a choice and there is a freedom to choose. And this is an irrefutable fact based on the word of the I Am. So I'm going to repeat verses 18 through 21. I'm going to read it again. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on the fact. I think NIV says this is the verdict. This is the conclusion. Whether you like it or not, it's the conclusion. It's decided. You don't get a vote. I don't either. This is the conclusion. God's light came into the world. But people love darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others will see that they are doing what God wants. So let's change gears here. Let's focus on what it means to be in the absence of light. I remember a few years ago talking about light and darkness. I did a sermon series about light and darkness. And the darkness is not the opposite of light, but the darkness is the absence of light. In the creation event, there was darkness until the arrival of the presence of the I Am. Before that day one event, there was the absence of light, because the light of the world had not arrived yet. By the way, when I say that, I understand my limited ability to comprehend the creation event, okay? I understand my very limited ability. But I know there was darkness until light came. There was darkness over the surface of the deep, and then God said, let there be light. So I understand that light is what separates the darkness. Listen very carefully as Jesus speaks to the Jewish people and to everyone today about the absence of this great light, which is actually the absence of I Am. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness, because you'll have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. And Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. If I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect, because I'm not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Where is your Father? They ask. And Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, who is he? This is foundational. Since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. And if you knew me, you would also know my Father. And Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested. Now that little statement in there is really important. You know what? He was not arrested. You know what that means? They wanted to, but they couldn't. Why do they want to arrest him? Why is that in there? He was not arrested. Because his time had not come. You remember every one of these examples I've used so far. When he revealed his name, they picked up stones to stone him. Last week when we talked about, he said, I'm the bread of life. What did they do? Murmuring began, like, you know, what, I got to eat your flesh. I got to drink your blood. And now he's not arrested. What does that tell you in all three cases? As he reveals his name, he reveals his purpose, he reveals his identity, they don't like it. But aren't all three of them wonderful good news? But they don't like it. They don't accept it. He's not arrested because his time's not come, but they wanted to. Now go to the next verse, verse 21. Later, Jesus said to them, I'm going away. You will search for me. Here it comes. This is the reason I'm bringing this scripture up. You're going to search for me, but you're going to die in your sin. Ooh, you think they didn't like him before? You think they wanted to arrest him before? He's looking at, you're going to die in your sin, and you cannot come where I am going. Why? Before I get into it, why? What's dying in your sins got to do with going where Jesus is going? You better figure that one out. Remember? The light separates the darkness. If you die in your sin, you cannot go where Jesus is going. He's going to heaven. He's going to the right hand of the Father. If you die in your sin, you're going to go into the darkness because you have rejected the light of the world. You're going to experience the absence of light. If you or I die in my sin, I cannot go where he is. Why? Because he is light. He's light. And if I do not deal with the sin issue, I can't be in the light. Because sin and darkness cannot coexist. Because what happens? When the light approaches the darkness has to leave. Well, if I'm still in my sin, I'd have to leave. I got to leave. Light doesn't leave. The darkness leaves. Whew. That's huge. I want everybody to just use your imagination for a moment and think of what it would be to experience the absence of light. No light. Forever no light. Only darkness. Go to verse 21. Later, Jesus said to them, I'm going away. You will search for me. He's going to say it a second time, but you're going to die in your sins. You cannot come where I'm going. The people ask, is he planning to commit suicide? What does he mean? You cannot come where I'm going. Jesus continued, you are from below. I am from above. You belong to this world. I do not. That's why I said that you will die in your sins. That's the third strike. You're going to die in your sins, for unless you believe. So what will be the cure to dying in your sins? Unless you find the cure for this, you're only going to have darkness. Verse 24 again. That's why I said you're going to die in your sins, for unless. That means there's a chance. For unless you believe that I am who I claim to be. There's that I am again. Unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. Yeah, you will. So let me ask everybody a question tonight. You're watching online or you're here in person. Do you? Have you? Will you? What? Do you believe he is who he says he is? Do you know he can tell? I can't. I feel like there's people I go to church with my whole life and you'll fake me out. There's nobody here that's going to fake him out. He knows. Is Jesus who he says he is? So let's take a test. If you're having a hard time with the follow me part of Christianity, I can tell you, you still have not dealt with the fundamental issue of his name. He is I am. So I want to summarize and close. That's why it came. That's why the I am, the light of the world, came and pierced our darkness with his marvelous light, revealing good and evil, truth and lies, separating the darkness from the light. To forgive our sins so that we would not die in our sins. Because if we die in our sins, we're going to experience forever absence of his marvelous light. Is everybody with me? To die in your sins is to reject the light. And if you reject the light, you are left in the darkness. And there is no way to escape the darkness except the light of the world. And you rejected the light that was sent to take away your darkness. So you're left with darkness. 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John 1:5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light. Somebody say hallelujah. God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. You can't coexist in the light if you are darkness. There's no darkness in him. Zero. None. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. There's that sin thing. If we continue in spiritual darkness, which is sin, we're lying. We're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if you're living in the light, not the darkness, in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins, which means we won't die in our sins. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Run toward the light. Don't walk, run. If I were to have a word for the world today, it's this: run. I don't know how much longer you've got, but if you die in your sins, you will never ever see light, only darkness. Romans 13:11. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time's running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And how does he illustrate this? The night is almost gone. The darkness, the night is almost gone, and the day of salvation will soon be here. So what do I do about that? So remove your dark deeds. Like dirty clothes, put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness. So when they come out with this Equality Act, you know what? I don't know whether that'll pass or not. It'll ever become law. I have no idea. I can tell you this. I will not participate. They can go do what they want to do. I'm not going with them. I'm not going to participate. So whatever's going to happen is going to have to happen. Sorry, I don't mean to be offensive. If it's a boy and the boy wants me to call him a girl, I can't play. I'm not going to participate in the darkness. Don't participate in the darkness or wild parties or drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living. What? It's just darkness. What do you want to fool with darkness for? You know, can we be honest? Because it can be somewhat entertaining. Quarreling, jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Clothe yourself in the light. And don't let yourselves think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Do you see that Jesus came to separate the light from the darkness by his very presence in our lives? In here. He came to separate the light and the darkness by moving in. Only way it could work with me is you got to move in. He's not going to do it from the outside. He's got to move into this house. He's got to work from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness. What? That's the Genesis account. Has made this light shine where? In our hearts. So we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. Do you see what he's doing? Where is the light of the world? Where is it right now? It better be inside of you. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure, this great light. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. Inside of me, just darkness. But when he came into my heart, he separated the darkness by the presence of the light. This is why Jesus tells us that we will know the signs and the season of his return. Listen carefully. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, not the angels, and at that point, not even the Son. No one knows. But he also says that there will be a group of people that will know the season. How could that be possible? Because we are children of the light, children of the day. His light shines in our hearts, revealing something. I want to show it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:1, which, by the way, is a reference to the return of Christ. Now, concerning how and when all this Jesus coming will happen, that's what he's talking about. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And at that point, those who are caught by the thief in the night event, they die in their sins, there will be no escape. You will die in your sins. Utter darkness. But there's a second category. But you aren't in the dark about these things. Somebody say hallelujah. You know what that means? You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. But you aren't in the dark about these things. And if you go back and read this text, he's talking about the Lord's return. You aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. You won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief to those people who are in the darkness. Why? Before you are all children of the light. What does it mean? The light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness. We don't belong to the night. So be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert, be clear-headed. Nighttime, the dark, is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence, the sureness of our salvation. Why? Because he lives inside of me. Finally, hell is described as forever darkness. Because it's the one place that God's light will never be. There's all these churchy words, omniscient, that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all places, always. All these omni-whatever words that nobody understands anyway. It means he's everywhere all the time and all-powerful. There is one place where he says he's not going. And because he's not there and he is the light, it'll always be dark there. Called hell. He's not going there. His presence has been rejected. You know, all the people there didn't want him. They didn't want the light. They wanted the darkness. So he obliged them by giving them a place of his absence where he is not, nor will he ever be. Hell. Can you imagine the horrors of a forever darkness? Run to the light of the world. I told you a couple weeks ago I'd had a dream at 3:00 in the morning. And I've had 2 weeks now to reflect on that dream. You know what the most horrible part of the dream was? The darkness. As I watched people pulled into the darkness, I was overwhelmed. Still can barely talk about it. I watched people pulled into eternal darkness. If there's anybody alive and breathing air that believed that Jesus is the escape from that darkness, you'd run to him so fast your tennis shoes would catch on fire. Think about it. You know who won't? They don't believe he is who he says he is. That's it. I don't know how to convince you. God has reserved a place of blackest darkness for those who reject the light of the world. Jude 1:13, this is pretty sobering. Talking about the lost, those who die in their sins. They're like wild waves of the sea, churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars, doomed forever to blackest darkness. It was always interesting to me that the final plague of Egypt. Here's my closing. I spent a lot of time studying the Egyptian plagues and God's way he revealed himself to, and God separated the Hebrews and the Egyptians. It's always interesting to me that the final plague of Egypt was darkness before the Passover. But in that moment, in that moment when there was such great darkness, there was light in Goshen. And Goshen's where the Hebrews live. There's light. So do you think God has the ability to separate the two? I can tell you it's getting very dark around here. But find hope tonight in this last scene. I want to read from Exodus 10:21. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Lift your hand toward heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with a darkness so thick you can feel it." Whew. So Moses lifted his hand to the sky, and a deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for how long? Interesting. 3 days. Darkness. 3 days. During all that time, the people could not see each other, and no one moved. But there was light as usual where the people of Israel lived. A deep darkness for 3 days. And then, you know what happened after that 3 days? The Passover. The darkness of the grave, and on the third day he will rise again. And he will pass over you. The blood of the Lamb, the light of the world. Run toward the light. Father, thank you for your word, for this marvelous opportunity to know you. We believe that you are who you say you are, and that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. The I am and the I will is true. Now, Lord, put it deep in our hearts, and then use us to share this with those who don't know. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.